Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, the humble serving God's heart. They are the ones that God uses, and from His caring love, they touch the world. He doesn't ask a proud person to have a ministry. He loves the humble serving heart. And I hope you understand that. Anything that you accomplish on this earth, God is measuring you by His measuring stick and not by the world's. And we're going to talk about that from Jeremiah. Oh, such a young man. And he just didn't think that he wanted to go into ministry. We're going to talk about that today. Oh, how the Word of God changes us.
It does. You know, it's not, ministry is not for the faint of heart.
No, it isn't. It's like when we blew into this building today, the wind gusts were just, if I would have had Mocha, I would have had to either carry her. She would have lifted her little legs up.
Yeah.
And you were comparing us to the skiers on the slopes in the Olympics.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be clearing my throat quite a bit during this time on the air just because I've been laughing so much. You know, when you laugh and then your throat pays the consequence for it.
Yep, it sure does.
But I love how you started out talking about the humble and how God uses the humble. And Mom, I know you don't like me to really point out anything that you do or that you walk in, but you don't let people know how much you thank the Lord every day. And you thank Him when you're hurting, and you thank Him when you're not, and you thank Him when we don't have enough to pay the bills for this ministry or for your home, and you thank Him when we do have enough, but you don't ever withhold praise and thanks. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for that example in my life, the example that you have set, and the way that you have determinedly said, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you because you are worthy of my gratitude. You're worthy of my praise, no matter what I feel, no matter what I see, no matter how many bills are pouring in that I can't cover. But thank you, God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. From that day, I remember the day that Darren went to be with the Lord, because when I came home, I opened the door. I was angry. I just got to admit, a dent in the door, closed the door. I opened it again, another dent in the door.
Bless your heart, yeah.
And so then I went in the house and I said, oh, Father God, I'm so sorry. I am not going to complain anymore about what you do, what you allow to happen, because you work all things together for good. And I know it's going to come out better than it was before, even though our memories seem so much better than what we have at the present time.
Or our logic, right?
Yes.
We think that we've got it figured out, or that we have been unjustly or unfairly treated.
Yes.
And we don't have it figured out. We when we get stuck there, we're not leaning on who our God is. Instead, we're leaning on our own understanding, and that will always get us in trouble.
Yeah. You were saying something as we're listening to some of the news about Nancy Guthrie. You were saying something this morning about Savannah, which was really rich, because the last time we heard her talking, she was saying things like,
she just said, it's not too late. She just simply said, for the person out there who knows where my mom is, it's not too late. And she left it at that.
Yes. And you saw in her, in the spirit, a woman with a forgiving heart.
Yes.
If they would return her mother, there would be no charges, you know, if she's in good condition. And I think so many times we need to look at our situations in forgiveness because, mm-hmm. boy, we can get a U-Haul trailer full of unforgiveness being behind us.
Well, and because she left it at just, it's not too late. Mm-hmm. And she didn't say, if you bring our mother in she's in good condition. She didn't put any qualification on it.
No conditions.
And it did sound very forgiving. When we have an expectation of something that we would like to have happen in this life, mm-hmm. and so then that's our qualification with that expectation, mm-hmm. it's hard to follow through with forgiveness because you've got that expectation.
Yeah.
You have something in your mind that you need to have settled, completed. You've got an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're hanging on to that, it's hard to step back and say, you know what, I'm going to forgive no matter what.
Yes.
And I guess that's what I heard when I heard Savannah Guthrie say, it's not too late.
That's right.
And she just left it at that.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, are we able to do that as human beings? That's been my prayer, that we as humans would learn the forgiveness of Christ.
Yes.
He didn't qualify that forgiveness when he stretched his arms out on that cross and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was not just speaking to one people group.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about everyone on the planet.
Amen.
And everyone who was born before him and everyone who would be born after him.
That's right. It has everything to do with forgiveness, folks. And I will just let that go.
let it be what it is.
Let it be what it is.
Yeah,
you are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And our memory verse for this week is Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, in the New American Standard. And Kimberly, in the Passion, it's just so beautiful. Why don't you read that?
Truth's shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? Makes your pathway clear.
Yes.
We sang a song. We sang a song on Saturday at our meeting, Psalm 119.
32?
32, excuse me. Thank you. I'm glad she's here. Don't have her for a long time. And I realized that as John wrote this song, your father wrote this song, I can run in the path of your commands, for you have set my spirit free. It goes right along with the Passion. You make my pathway clear, Lord God.
Mm.
And it's so beautiful.
Yes.
So
and it really is about our spirit being free. Mm-hmm. To follow him and his example of forgiveness.
Yes.
When we are free then of our own expectations, then we can truly follow him.
That's right. Well, yesterday we read an article about Abraham Lincoln and what a miracle life he lived. This man he was raised in poverty, as we would say it, and his mother died at an early age, and he went through a lot, self-learned. And it was just really beautiful how God brought him into the presidency of the United States. And I looked it up, from March of 1861 till April of 1865. 4 years was all he served. And Kimberly, he could have gone for two terms.
Yeah, you're talking about George Washington now.
Yeah.
So yesterday we talked about Abraham Lincoln. And then
yes.
Today we're just giving a little bit on George Washington because yesterday was President's Day.
Yes.
So this is our way of celebrating our presidents.
That's right. And if you go to any retail store, they're still celebrating president's sales. So.
Well, yes. Lincoln's birthday was actually the 12th.
Uh-huh.
And then the 16th is George Washington's.
Yesterday. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, so we're celebrating.
Yes. And he went into the service really early. He was raised in a very wealthy family, opposite of Abraham Lincoln. And when he went into to serve with the Virginia Regiment in the Colonial Army, he took command of a small and poorly trained army in 1775. And under his leadership, American forces achieved an early victory in March of 1776 when they forced the British to evacuate Boston after placing artillery in Dorchester Heights. And if you ever get the series Sons of Liberty, you will see a remarkable description in this beautiful series.
Right, the movie series.
About 1776 and 1777.
Sons of Liberty, yes.
Yes, Sons of Liberty. In August of 1776, the British Army launched an attack and quickly took New York City in the largest battle of the war. Washington's army was defeated, and he was forced to surrender 2,800 men. This is brutal. He ordered the remains of his army to retreat into Pennsylvania across the Delaware River. Confident the war would be over in a few months, General Howe wintered his troops at Trenton and Princeton, New Jersey, leaving Washington free to attack at the time in the place of his choosing. On Christmas night, just think, Christmas night, Washington and his men returned across the Delaware River and attacked unsuspecting Hessian mercenaries at Trenton, dealing them a humiliating loss. But the darkest time for Washington and the Continental Army was during the winter of 1777 at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. The 11,000-man force went into winter quarters, and over the next 6 months, suffered thousands of deaths, mostly from disease, but a lot from frozen feet and all of that, Kimberly. I mean, there was freezing
temperatures.
Yeah. And the army emerged from the winter still intact and in relatively good order. I know when Dana lived in Pennsylvania, she was a guide for some things that happened almost during that very same
In that area,
mm-hmm. yes. So that part of Pennsylvania near Philadelphia is rich in history. It really is. George Washington's name became a popular word for the forming of a new government in the colonies. In May of 1787, Washington was unanimously chosen as president of the Constitutional Convention. He and other founding fathers like James Madison and Alexander Hamilton came to the conclusion that the country needed a new constitution that would give the federal government more authority. In the end, the convention produced a plan for government that not only would address the country's current problems, but would endure through time. And we're celebrating 250 years this year. After the convention adjourned, Washington's reputation and support for the new government were indispensable to the ratification of the new constitution. He was such an important and influential figure in the forming of our government, Kimberly.
Yes, he was.
Yes. Oh, praise the Lord.
We're grateful. We're grateful for our heritage, mm-hmm. the history of this country, and everything that it provides. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a lot of conflict right now, confusion, disruption, and being able to talk about the Word of God in the midst of this, that's how it will all be disarmed.
Yes.
Is through the Word. We can all take our stances and, like I was saying earlier, have expectations that we believe need to be met. Mm-hmm. But when we truly want to hear each other, we want to have listening hearts, and we want to bring peace and calm, then we won't allow our own expectations and our own opinions to stand in the way of that peace.
That's right.
We will be listeners. We'll have the humble heart, like you were talking about earlier, the humble heart that will listen and be patient and kind in responses and really trust that that way is going to be the way that wins over. That is the way that our Father treats us. He is so kind and so patient, constantly listening, even when we are angry and mm-hmm. we grumble. Mm-hmm. He is listening.
Yes. He's the God that blessed Abraham and Moses and Joseph. He's the God that came and dwelt in the flesh. He is the God that was with Abraham Lincoln, and he was the God with George Washington. He is your God today if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And here we're going to go through some more Old Testament reading today. Oh, it's so rich, Kimberly. I just kept typing and typing and typing this morning to get mm-hmm. some notes out. And tomorrow I think we'll go into the New Testament about the Word of God, because it does change it does from an external kind of a word that they had in the Old Testament to internal. Mm-hmm. The word is in us.
Right.
In him, you know, in us, in him we live and move and have our being, and he is the word.
Yes.
Yes. So would you like to?
I was looking at Psalm 119. We were starting with that as our memory verse.
That's right.
And as the word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. And you already mentioned Psalm 119, verse 32. Verse 89, there's a lot of verses in Psalm 119.
Oh, there 150
are. Verses.
There are.
So we'll look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness continues through all generations. His word is what settles us. His word is what accomplishes. His word is what created all of what we see.
Mm-hmm. And people have burned the Bible. They have had huge bonfires destroying the Bible, the paper Bible. But you can never destroy God's word. And Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
That's right.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, wow. It is.
And then in Psalm 119, verses 49 through 50. Now, sometimes we may feel like this, and all of us have gone through the emotional, physical problems and issues that we've had. And this person who wrote Psalm 119, do they ever say who wrote Psalm 119? Probably after David. But anyway, from the Passion, Psalm 119, verses 49 and 50. Lord, never forget the promises you've made to me, for they are my word, that my hope and confidence. In all my affliction, I find great comfort in your word, for your word has kept me alive. No matter how bitterly the proud mockers speak against me, I refuse to budge from your promises. Your revelation light is eternal. I'm encouraged every time I think about your truth. Mm. And that's so right, Kimberly. Even after I was typing today in the office all these scriptures, I left the office just feeling so good.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
The word brings life and light into our life.
And comfort.
And comfort.
And
yes.
Hope.
Yes.
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 And you asked about Psalm 119. There are some who believe that Ezra, the prophet Ezra, may have written that Psalm, but because it's in an acrostic form, that means that there are sections of it that all each line up with the Hebrew alphabet, the alphabet.
Okay.
And so every eight verses, they're eight verse chunks. And in those eight verses, the first eight verses would line up with Aleph. The second eight verses line up with Bet. And then the third eight is Gimel. And so if you're going through the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, you would have this acrostic that lines up with all of the letters of the alphabet. That's something that David loved to do.
Yeah.
So it really could be one of his writings.
Yes. Although Ezra was quite a scribe. Wow. Mm-hmm. He wrote down so much. So we'll just find out when we get there. Oh, praise the Lord. But God helps us during those bitter moments in our lives.
That's right. It's his word that his we lean
word.
On.
It's yes, his word, yes.
That brings us hope, that brings us comfort and peace. Mm-hmm. That word brings us joy.
Oh, yes.
That word, his word is truth when everything else on this planet fails us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Psalm 119, verses 74 and 75. Kimberly, would you like to read that?
May all your devoted lovers see how you treat me and be glad, for your words are entwined within my heart. Lord, I know that your judgments are always right, even when it's me you judge.
Ooh.
You're still faithful and true. Send your kind mercy kiss to comfort me, your servant, just like you promised you would.
Oh, when we get his word so known within our body and our spirit already knows, but within our body and our mind, it's like I woke up last night at 2:30 and, okay, Holy Spirit, why are you wanting me awake? And he began pouring in the Jeremiah 1:12 and the Isaiah 55:11 and all these wonderful scriptures.
Scriptures about his word.
Psalm 107, verse 20. And you love Psalm 107. So it's not merely a prayer, folks. It's getting that alive and active word into your spirit. See, because so many people think, well, if I can just get to so-and-so's meeting and have him lay hands on me, I'll be healed. Healing comes from getting into the Word of God and making it come alive in your physical body.
That's right.
That's the healing.
Yes. Because it's not just words on a page. It's not like every other book.
That's right.
It is alive, and it's a relationship. Reading the Word of God and getting to know the Lord through His Word is a relationship.
Yes.
And choosing to believe and growing in faith is becoming more like Him. You mentioned Psalm 107, verse 20. It says, He sent His word and healed some of them.
Oh, no.
And delivered some of them from destruction.
Nope.
No.
They were all scared, but they came to realize who was in charge of that storm they were going through.
He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Mm-hmm. Not just some of them. He delivers us. That is available to all.
Yes.
To all.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And over, if you go to Psalm 107, it's just a beautiful psalm because we've all gone through these trials and tests. And here in verse 6 and again in verse 13, again in verse 19, again in verse 28, we find that interspersed throughout all the troubles, they said, let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. For He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what is good. Well, Lord, would You just still this storm? See, He was promising goodness in being satisfied in their soul. Mm-hmm. They were going through a storm.
Yes, and over in Psalm 107, we see all the different kinds of storms or wilderness desert. There's different storms.
Yes.
And every time, I think that's what you were pointing out, they cried out to the Lord saying, Lord, help us, rescue us. Mm-hmm. And He did.
And He did.
Yes. Over and over, we see those words, like you said, in verse 6, then verse 13. Then we cried out to the Lord, help us, rescue us. And He did.
Amen. In verse 27, the storm is just really, it's like probably like twice the wind that we had today. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been at your wits' end, not knowing where to turn or who to talk to? You've been at your wits' end, and God came through. And here it says, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Mm-hmm. And then they were glad because they were quieted. So He guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. It's on and on. Give thanks to the Lord, folks. That's where it is.
Yes. The way that God listens to us and answers us and rescues us over and over and over again, that is His quality that we as human beings do not have ready access to. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come naturally for us to listen and really help others. You know, the Lord is such a listener. It occurred to me that when Jesus was here on this planet and He was with His disciples, they went across the sea to the region of the Gerasenes, and there was a man who was demon possessed, and there were a whole bunch of pigs. And when Jesus told that demon to come out of that man, the demons begged Jesus, don't send us to the abyss.
That's right.
Don't send us out to the abyss.
He need bodies.
Yeah. And you know what? He listened.
Yep, he did.
He listened. And he said, they are the ones who said, there's pigs over there. Send us into the pigs. Okay, yeah. go into the pigs.
And what are pigs compared to people? See, Jesus knew the value of each human being.
That's right.
And this man needed the freedom, the wholeness that he had not known.
Right. So our Lord is a listener.
He is.
He's a listener.
And here in Psalm 107, we see that God stilled the storm. And then in the New Testament, you were reading from Mark 4 yesterday, that Jesus stilled the storm.
Yeah.
So Jesus took it right from his Heavenly Father. Well, what my Heavenly Father can do, I can do.
And that is the Word. He's the Word. In John 1, we're looking at Jesus being the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning before all time. This is Jesus that it's talking about. And the Word was God himself.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
In verse 14, I'm just going to give just a tiny hint of what we'll go into more tomorrow. In verse 14 of John 1, it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word is what created all things. The Word was with God in the beginning, and the Word was God. This is Jesus. Mm-hmm. He became flesh. That's Jesus.
Yes.
And dwelt among us. But you know what? That word dwelt, it could be tabernacled among us. That word is not a past tense word. It doesn't have a tense on it.
Mm.
So that word is still becoming flesh.
Wow.
And we are part of that becoming.
Yes.
The Word is becoming flesh and dwelling in us, tabernacling in us.
Mm-hmm.
We, the people now, today, are having more and more revelation, more and more of the light of God, and the Word of God is coming alive in us.
Yes.
There's revelation happening all over the place, and it's exciting. The
Amen.
Word is becoming flesh and dwelling among us.
That's
now.
Right. In the Old Testament, it was, arise, shine, for thy light has come. In the New Testament, you're absolutely right, Kimberly. The glory of the Lord is in us. And he's flowing through us to others. Oh, God bless you. I hope you enjoyed this little lesson today. And I hope you'll join us tomorrow. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.